B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is the message that you want to get across?
We want justice, you know? We want justice, and unfortunately, this is what we have to do to get it. And for us, we want you to know that we won't be silent. Enough is enough. We're tired of our loved ones, our brothers, our fathers, our sons being killed for nonsense, for nothing at all, with no justice being served. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and in America, unfortunately, it's about not about what you know, but what you can prove. Well, we can prove murder. We've seen the video. Everybody across the world has seen it. It's nothing to justify. I don't know. What can you say as that officer to justify that killer? Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. So there's nothing to negotiate about. There's nothing to be said. He's supposed to be just like one of us. If one of us is out there and we committed this crime, we'll be charged for it. Justice isn't certain until we see him behind bars.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mazz, presented by DraftKings here on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Mondays are Reentry Mondays, presented by East Boston Savings Bank. That was Marcus Smart. Marching in Boston yesterday, interviewed by Steve Burton, WBZ Channel 4. They were speaking through masks. That's why they were a little muffled. And so Marcus Smart, Enes Kanter. Who else was out there yesterday in Boston?
Vincent Poirier, I believe.
Okay. And we all know, or you probably, if you haven't heard, Jaylen Brown drove 15 hours to Atlanta on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day that was, over the weekend to participate in demonstrations down in Atlanta. Do you have any... Before I get to more specifics, any thoughts on, you know, their participation?
No, I mean, I'm not surprised in regard to Jaylen Brown. I having lived there for a little bit and knowing dudes that are born and raised in that area, I mean, the city means a lot to guys from that area. So, and I saw a few people like, why wouldn't he just protest here? It's because, I don't know, he's from that area. Atlanta right. is, you know, the rapper T.I. referred to it as Wakanda, kind of tongue in cheek over the weekend, because, you know, that was like the I don't know if you saw the movie Black Panther, Mike, but it's where Black Panther and his people were from. It's like Wakanda is kind of there. It's a good analogy for Atlanta. So the people that are from there, they're very passionate about the city. So I could completely understand that. And it's just proof again that, you know, for me, Jaylen Brown might be too smart for the league. Like, that dude's going to end up being a politician or something, hopefully post his career, because his heart's in the right place. A smart dude. Same for Marcus Smart. Like, I can understand with any of these guys, whether you're black, white, whatever, if you're out there protesting and trying to make a change here for what happened with the death of George Floyd.
Murray, I did see the movie, so I know what you were talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and look, to me, I have no problem with it at all. In fact, I commend it. How many athletes do we give criticisms for not using their platform in a good way? And Michael Jordan drew a ton of criticism for this over the course of his career. He's speaking up now, finally.
Well, let me stop you there. How do you feel about that Jordan's finally gotten off his ass?
Feels a little bit contrived.
Yeah, I mean, I think he recognizes his failings in the past, and I think he recognizes the magnitude of that line that, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, even though it was, you know, uttered 25 years ago or something close to that. And so it's, you know, I believe in better late than never, but in his case, it's totally half-hearted. Where were you when you had a bigger stage? Where were you when you had greater access and people were going to follow? And he wanted nothing to do with it then. So I know that one of the things you want to ask Mike is regards Jaylen Brown and now whether or not he'll be quarantined when he comes back. I suspect that he will be. I can't imagine he won't, and I still don't have a problem with it. To me, he's from that area, and you know, there are certain things that are worth standing up for that are way, way bigger than what we do here, and you're not going to hear me criticize him for that.
Okay, so I guess that's the question. And again, it's just the question. Do the Celtics have a right to be frustrated with any of their guys who may have set themselves back a couple weeks in getting in the gym?
Do they have a right to? I suppose.
Do you think they are?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
I don't think so.
Me neither. I don't think they are either.
At all. And that league, that sport is ahead of most when it comes to this. And the
especially the NBA, yeah.
So, right? Yeah. I mean, I just think they're on the, I don't know if they're on the front lines, but they're certainly ahead of any other sport when it comes to social activism and promoting it and accepting it and embracing it among their players. And so, you know, this is one that obviously matters, and this is an important story. And so I can't imagine that they would feel that way, and I'm sure they don't. But is there a practical matter there that now, I mean, not just Jaylen Brown quarantining, I mean, Marcus Smart.
Well, any of those
Marcus Smart, Enos Kanter, that's why I was asking, you know, who else was out there?
Right. And, you know, I would think that they would be, considering how many people they were surrounded by. I would think, given all the information we've been given about the coronavirus, like, shouldn't all those dudes be quarantined for the next 2 weeks?
Look, I'm not criticizing them for it.
Me either.
And I'm not saying that it's not worth giving up the 2 weeks. I'm just sort of, this is a little tie into sports here. I mean, we're dying for these guys to get back. We want them to get back. You know, finally, the gym opened today, for crying out loud. Finally,
exactly.
Last place in the country, I think, where you can go shoot baskets is the Auerbach Center. I mean, literally, is that the last freaking building that was available to get open just to shoot some effing jumpers? So finally, you know, you can go in there and shoot some jumpers because they've been so tight about it. But now these guys are coming off of, you know, never mind just traveling, but Marcus Smart was milling around with whatever, 10,000 people yesterday. Yeah. And he's wearing masks, and I see a lot of masks out there, and I, you know, that's good. But I don't know, if you're being that careful and that tight about it as a government that you wouldn't even open up the stinking building. Now you open up the building, but these players were, again, just in mass gatherings.
Yeah, so at the very least, they're going to have to be retested. So even if it's, you know, like, okay, we want to try to get you out there to practice a little bit. So even if they don't quarantine, which, hey, if they want to have them, you know, if they're comfortable with it, the team's comfortable with it, the players comfortable with it, fine. But you do have to retest them, I would think.
It's just kind of frustrating to me. It's like it doesn't seem to add up that you think it's so dangerous that you couldn't even open up the gym for these guys for weeks. It was just too dangerous. But rolling around thousands of people in the streets is okay. Stamp right. of approval. Like that doesn't add up to me.
No, me either. And that's where it goes back to rudderless leadership.
Like, yeah. And Mike, when you say it doesn't add up to you, the reason it doesn't add up to you is because it doesn't add up, period. Really. It's preposterous. It's completely preposterous. So look, and again, I with regard to Jaylen Brown in particular, who went out of state, but even so, Enes Kanter, Marcus Smart, whoever felt the need or the want to go out and join protesters and lead them. Again, I have no issue with it whatsoever. I commend them for it because I think it is an issue worth fighting for, and it's one that we've talked about for a long time. I wonder, too, whether or not they gave the team a heads up or what kind of dialogue existed between them and the organization. And, hey, listen, we're going to do this. We think it's important, and I'd be willing to bet. And I don't know this, so, but I'd be willing to bet the Celtics said, do what you think you need to do.
Oh, I mean, I have no idea, I have no knowledge either, but there is no way you would say no to an African-American player at a time like this. No way. That would be stupid, and you shouldn't. And you shouldn't. But, again, it just doesn't feel consistent to me that they're just so, like, we're going to be so careful you can't even come in and shoot baskets 1-on-0. But... I mean, I don't know. The gym should have been open up a month ago.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Come on. And so,
even for just us as a society, the way the governor talked on Saturday, Mike, I find it's like, what, huh? Because it was like, no, this is all closed. Can't open up. Everyone stay home. But if you want to protest, like, hey, go out. You know, like, what? Huh? What?
Exactly. So what are we talking about here? And again, no consistency, and it does go back to the lack of leadership. But so that's one little sports tie-in. The Jordan thing stands out to me too. He finally says something, you know.
I think Jordan's hearing it, you know. So if there's, and Chris talked about the Gasper on Saturday because he eviscerated him and has before because of how he didn't stand up for Harvey Gantt.
I mean, how you don't stand up against Jesse Helms,
right?
Is
maybe the most virulent racist, you know, in American history, or one of them. And for him to just kind of say, nah, that's not me. I'm not going to deal with that. And it's, you know, Republicans buy shoes too. Now, especially the way that the world has changed, now you can look back at that 10-part documentary series and look at that particular part and be like, ooh. Oh, you really sat on your ass there, Jordan. You could have did something and actually, you know, had some positive change maybe in the world, and you did nothing. Nothing? Not good.
Okay, how about the taking a knee during the anthem? You think there's going to be more tolerance for that when that comes back?
I would hope that there will be. I always, but again, we're seeing stupidity on so many levels right now that I wonder whether anybody ever gets it when it comes to issues of race. So will there be more tolerance? I would hope so. I want to say yes, but I also know that people are, many of them are inherently stupid and will continue to be stupid and dig in even further.
But how about coaches who didn't like it? Bill didn't like it. Belichick didn't like it. When the Patriots did it that day, it was allegedly a surprise to Bill. He didn't know what was happening. He wasn't happy about it. And, you know, the Kraft supported it, but they had to manage that a little bit, and Bill was not supportive of it. And so should Bill Belichick be supportive of it now? Do you think he would be supportive of it now? I mean, never mind the people. We, as we've discussed, people are too polarized.
Right.
You know, there is no center. The center has not held. No one can find the middle. So I'm not expecting people on that side of it to suddenly turn around and go, oh, yeah, I get now why they kneel. Go ahead and kneel. That ain't going to happen. We're too far apart. But the coaches, I mean, just start there. Do you think Bill's going to have a greater understanding of it? And, I mean,
I would think so. I mean, things have so dramatically changed so much here in the last week, you know, that if he was such a hardliner about it before, you got to soften now. Like, you're going to lose players. And even though he didn't that last time, now, again, things have just changed so dramatically. You really run a risk if you say, like, no, we're not going to do that kind of thing anymore.
I don't see how he can't, frankly. I just think that, on so many levels, it's sad that it had to come to this before people were really awakened to the reality of the problem. And I'm not sure many of them even are still. But I would hope that at this stage we could understand the importance of it. And so, look, Bill's a hard one to predict because he's so singularly focused that he prefers to keep business and everything else on the outside. And then certainly, if you have your causes, I don't think he would dissuade players from doing what they felt to be the right thing. But inside the walls of his football operation, he just believes in running a tight ship. In this case, though, and look, I don't know, Mike, maybe it relates too to whether or not there are fans in the stands. Maybe that's an element, because if it happens and no one's there to see it and they don't show it on television, well, then it's not as much of a distraction, and maybe Bill would be more lenient with regard to it and more tolerant of it. To me, maybe that's a variable in there that we have to examine.
In hindsight, the angry, visceral reaction to those guys taking a knee, which
I know
is
it.
Such a... I mean,
I was there that day. It was gross.
Yeah, it was. It was bad. I was there too.
Oh, right. Yeah, Maz, you were in the stands. I was actually in the press box, and you heard it worse.
It's just I was in the stands that day. Yeah,
just a nonviolent, symbolic statement that hurts no one. It just expresses a feeling. And look, I'm a stand during the anthem guy.
Same.
You know, I'm not in favor of it. But to get that angry and that bent out of shape over a silent, peaceful protest like that, well, it just shows you. Shows you where we're at. It just shows you where we're at, that you just can't accept someone making a personal, peaceful, quick statement like that and just, you know, if not let it go, then at least accept that that's where they're coming from and then kick the ball and just, let's just go. But instead, no. It's that, you know, division. And it came out during those knees during the anthem 2 years ago. And I mean, you wonder why it looks the way it looks now? I mean, that was a little pretty. We couldn't handle that.
Yeah. And I
we
said
couldn't handle a couple of guys taking a knee.
And I said to Gasper over the weekend, I feel like you felt the same way, Mike. Eventually got to the point with Kaepernick. It's like this thing's been co-opted by Nike, and it feels like you're trying to do this to boost yourself in an individual way. And it's like, okay, so I kind of just ended up turning a blind eye to it. Whoops. Collectively, whoops, maybe we should have paid better attention 3 years ago.
So there's a couple tie-ins there to sports, but the most immediate one, and it's not important. I'm not telling you this is important, and it's not the most important thing. It's not the top 10 most important thing, but it did just sort of strike me because, I'm sorry, it's a sports show. They finally opened up the gym, and now the guys can't go in because they're going to be quarantined? Or should they be quarantined? Like, that sort of thing, just, I'm curious about that. We'll pick it up with your calls on the other side.
Sports, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown, is he going to have to come back here in quarantine for 14 days before he practices?
See, I'm thinking he will because, you know, again, I watched the videos when he was the protest that he organized in Atlanta, and I think he will. But, you know, the way this is kind of evolving, guys are going to be tested pretty regularly, and yeah. I think that's the way they're going to kind of proceed with this. But I would think that he would want to quarantine for 14 days just to be on the safe side. There were a lot of people there
yes.
at the protest that he helped, you know, put together, and that was great. And there's no question. No one will look back and say, "Damn, Jaylen, why did you do that?" No, you're not going to see that. But you have to be smart and careful about yourself and your teammates. And I think the safe and smart move would be for him to quarantine for 14 days.
This is A'Sherrod Blakely this morning on with Rich, Touch and Rich. I'm not telling you it's important or like they shouldn't protest. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's kind of ironical, especially here for this show that, you know, relies on sports, talks about sports, needs sports, is horny for sports to return. Been talking for weeks about the effing gym opening up for 1-on-0 shoot-arounds, just a guy shooting jumpers. You know, we've been talking for weeks about this. Will you open the freaking gym and let them? So they finally open it up. It's today. And now... Now the guys can't go in because they have to quarantine. And it's not just Jaylen Brown in Atlanta. So, of course, he's traveling from a different state and all of that. But really, what's the diff? I mean, what's the diff between Marcus Smart and Enes Kanter and the guys that were out here in Boston yesterday? You're still in a mass gathering. So whether you're in a mass gathering in Georgia or Massachusetts, that I don't know if they've been so hyper-careful about the thing. So, I mean... What's the difference? Now they won't even go in the gym, probably.
Yeah, and now, so a few people have emailed me about this, too. I had forgot about this. So I'm glad that Marcus Smart was out there for the reasons of the protest, but I'm also glad because he's a good test case. He had it.
Right.
Correct.
He had it. So that'll be interesting to see. Like, is he just fine? So after, if he was exposed and he's completely fine, like, isn't that good?
Well, the research is incomplete, but there is some research that tells you that if you have the antibodies, you can't spread it, you can't get it again, et cetera, et cetera. But again, it's so early.
Yeah.
So much is unknown. No one knows for sure, but that's some of the early research. You know, I'm curious about that. I am curious about that. Anyway, back your phones on this. We started with the baseball, whatever you want. Here's, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the name. Gonvalo in Oregon?
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead, Gonvalo.
Good job with that name. I got the last part of the conversation about baseball, and you guys keep talking about it dying and killing it and all that, and I'm just curious, like, that won't last forever. So what does it look like on the other side?
What does it look like on the other side? So, I mean, that's a huge question, but I'd love to see some sort of cap and floor. I think the sport desperately needs it. So these teams just can't blatantly tank. You can't have teams with $40 million payrolls. Like, that's just a joke. When other teams have $240 million payrolls, I mean, that's absurd. You might as well go to, like, a European soccer relegation model if you're going to have something like that.
Totally.
So you've got to close that gap. You can't incentivize the massive tanking. I mean, every sport has, you know, some form of tanking, but these organizations do it for 3, 4, 5 years as like a decade long strategy. You can't have that. So that's just two things. Never mind all the on field stuff, which is sort of obvious. But the thing that's, you know, has struck me recently is that I want the structure within the ownership to blow up as well, not just them beating down the players and getting them to speed up. I think that, you know, they have to change the whole structure between the owners, Mass.
Yeah, and so, but again, I think a lot of that comes down to having a cap and a floor. You know, what you need is some sort of range that makes it competitively fair for all the teams, and then we can really start to assess the GMs and the ownership groups and the managers, because the fact is that now you just throw a pile of money at it, and that's the way the teams try to solve their problems, and that's it. But in all honesty, the bigger thing to me is the product on the field. So I don't dispute the idea that, or the notion that there are problems structurally inside the ownership ranks and between owners and players and all of that. But to me, the biggest break in baseball is between the fans and the people who, and the players on the field. Fans are watching the game going, we need help here. We can't watch this anymore. We can't watch it. And they're being just turned away and ignored.
Burn it down.
Oh, gosh, it's ridiculous. I find that to be insulting, frankly, that a sport would just completely treat its fan base like that. Because I don't, you know, look, you maybe baseball just wants to blame the media and talk show hosts and whoever else, saying you're making noise, but this is all working fine. But deep down, I think ownership knows it's not working fine. They want to try to fix the problem. The players don't want to do it.
Faster. Sexier, less bitching. That's what the slogan should be. That's what the game should be when they burn it down and bring it back. And faster, put the ball in play, less nerds, sexier, allow bat flips, and don't be such an uptight DB about it when guys do that kind of thing. And that goes into less bitching. Can you just be more palatable to your audience? Because the baseball players, by and large, I think are the worst of the professional athletes. Well, you do those three things, you'll fix your product.
Okay, so but it's twofold again. So the owners have got to beat the players down a little bit. But it's then up to the owners to ditch the analytics. I mean, that's not the players' fault, the analytics.
The nerds out of there.
So, the players are just following the direction of the leaders of the sport. It's, you know, this road to analytics has not helped. So, you know, that's got to be addressed.
And
I don't know how it is because the nerds are often right. It's efficient, but it's killing the game. Kevin and Waltham, what do you got?
How you doing, boys? First of all, Murray, I want to give you props for your opening salvo. I don't like you much, but I liked it today, so that's good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Just thinking about the disconnect between professional sports and how the rest of us relate to them. You know, baseball, you want to play catch with your kid. Football, you want to play, you know, a little bit of one-on-one and flag, whatever it is. And we're getting separate and distant from it. And the importance of sports to me is how my kids got to grow up and get involved with other people from different socioeconomic statuses, whatever. It's really important. And
well,
it's really important in these days.
Yeah, Mass, go ahead.
Well, so I was just going to say that this is why people put their kids in youth sports. Most of us. It's not because we want the college scholarship. There are those jackasses that do that. We all know who they are. Okay? It's like, you know, really, your kid's not going pro. Get over it. But it's about the life lessons. It's about being in a group where some are better than others, and someone's got to figure out where they fit. And at the end of the day, you've all got to put aside whatever differences you have and work together. That's the whole point of it. That's the whole point. And so, look, I happen to think there's great value in athletics, but, and I use athletics as a youth term, but the fact of the matter is, give me any sort of kids' activity where it's a group mentality. I'm all for it. All for it. And so it's astonishing, though, that on some levels you look at it now and say the grown-ups can't figure it out, whether it's on the field or off.
And if you want to tie it in, sports generally is ahead of everybody else when it comes to race relations. So I would not be surprised if we find our way out of this, that sports is going to be a leading figure in it. It usually is. It usually is. We continue with your thoughts on that. We can continue with your thoughts on Major League Baseball. I do just want to chime in quickly. I watched some more German soccer over the weekend. I feel like the fake noise is getting worse. It's just a little bit of a cause here on Felger and Mass, so I want to pick that up on the other side with a special guest to help us with it as well. It is a reentry Monday, which means we are brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property. Maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray on the latest between owners and players in MLB.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sold his keeper to Chase. And Hazard will get there as well. Strudic sold his keeper short. And Hazard almost pounced.
Yeah, the pass back is head from Strudic is too short. Hazard's pace. Good chance.
Just over 35 minutes to force a breakthrough. Strudic is surely now talking Hazard, there is the breakthrough for Dortmund. It's a goal, they've been threatening and finally it arrives.
You hear that crowd, Murray? You hear that atmosphere?
Yes.
It's fake.
It's all right with me.
It's fake.
Sounds real though.
Fake.
Lie to me.
Again, this is just a little particular Felger and Maz obsession, but the fake crowd noise, because we know it's coming here. We know it's coming here. When basketball, hockey, football, for sure, when they get on the field, you know they're going to pipe in fake crowd noise. So, I this is one of the things that I watch the Bundesliga for, because to see, you know, see what's coming. And in my little amateur view, I feel like they tinkered with it more this weekend than previous weekends. Not that I'm watching every match or I'm even watching particularly that closely. I'm not. The game is just on in the corner, which is, you know, which is typically how I watch soccer. It's just on. It's great sort of wallpaper to have,
totally,
you know, on in the room. And, you know why one of the reasons is, Murray? And it every once in a while I have to remind myself. I don't think people appreciate it. You know why it's such great, wonderful wallpaper to have on?
Because it keeps going and there's no commercials?
No commercials.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no commercials.
Yeah, it's great.
There's no commercials. So it's like, that's just sort of a great thing to have on, because you never get interrupted with, hey, you know, yeah. Hulu has live sports. It's just, it's 45, 50 minutes in a chunk. And so anyway, so that's all a long way of saying I'm not watching super intently. But I felt like, you know, the crowd noise there, they had singing in the background there. They had chants, if you could hear that, before the goal.
Yeah, sweeten it in post, I think is what they would call that production.
Then the road team scored. And again, I forget who's playing, but I don't care to know. The road team scores. Jimmy, do you have the road goal? Because I think they're tinkering with the boo button. Like, there is some jeering going on this road goal. So here, listen carefully.
It's Hünemeyer against Roman Bürki.
So the levels, it sounds all crazy, but I, you know, first of all, the fake singing, you know, Zolani, and then the guy scored, and I feel like at first there was a little cheer, and they said, oh, no, that was the road team, so let's throw in a little boo. I'm like, you know, this is what I don't like about it. It's like, what are we doing? We're just some guy in the truck dinking around with his, you know, with his sound. It's like, this is not why I'm watching the game.
I didn't hit the proper button.
So, you know, I feel like that's just going to be, Fox is going to mess with that. Or maybe it's coming from the Sky Sports. I can't remember who's actually doing it, but that's all a breeding ground for what we're going to get. I was also, you know, I'm also interested. So apparently they can't hear it in the stadium, even though it sounds like it's coming from the stadium. That's just for the broadcast. In the stadium, it's still silent, or there's just, you know, four Germans yelling at each other.
Right.
I was watching Taylor Twellman, our buddy, on ESPN last week with Scott Van Pelt, and he said it's really impacted the play over there, the no people in the stands. And then Van Pelt just let it go. He didn't follow up. He's like, and I was saying to the TV at the time, like,
how?
Yeah. How? How is it impacting the play? So let's do this. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is Taylor Twellman of ESPN. Hi, Taylor.
What's going on, boys?
So,
Taylor,
how you doing, man?
Good. Living the dream, as we all are.
great times, right? Like, just all good, right? It's all good.
I'm really proud to be an American.
Yeah, so am I.
How is it? How are the empty stadiums impacting the play in Germany?
It's actually been more intriguing for me because I didn't think it would impact it as much as it had. So for you guys, before the pandemic, it was about 48% of the time the home teams would win. Going into this past weekend, it was only 18%. Now, after a couple results, now it's over, whatever, 22, 23%. But when you talk to some of the players over there, they said it's just extremely deflating. Walking out of the locker room, walking through the tunnel, you've got the anthem playing, you've got all the music playing that normally is there. You walk out and you look up, and you're at 45, 50, 60, 70,000 seat stadiums, and there's no one there. So it's completely taken away the home field advantage. Now, all three, you know this because you watch the NFL as religiously. When you talk about gambling aspect, a home field advantage is roughly 3, 3.5 points. You guys know that. What's very interesting to me over the last 48 to 72 hours is what I'm hearing from the NFL people that are watching this intently is that they've noticed from the first three weekends that, you know what, we may be better off having 33, 45, 55% capacity, maybe better in the stands for the NFL regular season than nothing at all, because that means home field advantage is gone. It's completely changed, Mike, the complexion of the league, the competition. The English Premier League is supposed to start June 20th, June 27th, whatever that may be. They are talking about that impacting their relegation battles, which turns out to be roughly about $400 to $750 million in range. And now they're saying, well, wait a minute. If home field advantage is affected by not having fans in the stands, that changes the competition. It's actually impacted the bottom line of our clubs.
Taylor.
A lot of people in the soccer world around the world are surprised at how grossly different 48% to 22%. And listen, if it's one weekend, Mike, I get it. But now we're at three or four weekends through this. It's obviously had a huge impact on the play.
Okay, so it's helped the road teams. Do you think the overall quality of play has suffered or competition has suffered?
No, I don't. It's made it, you know, it's brought more parity to it in weird ways because of that lack of home field advantage. The only concern I would have, and I hate saying this because it's a global pandemic and you don't want to be that guy, but truth be told, the players were only allowed to train 7 to 10 days collectively together. That's had a massive impact on injuries. You're seeing way more injuries that should happen. And so now when these other leagues are coming back in the United States, that's all I hear from agents, from general managers, from team presidents. And it doesn't matter the sport, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and even college football to an extent, that if you don't give the athletes enough time to get back in time, and Lord knows we've had that problem. You guys have gloriously covered it here in Massachusetts. But in all seriousness, if you don't give the athletes enough time, Mike, that affects the play. But overall, the quality of play, it's been good. Now, the fake audio, I was completely against it. But, Mike, of the six games I've watched, four of the six, dude, have been really good. Now, two of the six, I would have argue that the audio engineer may have been drinking or not watching the same game that I was watching. But four, it was, you know, it sounded like a regular game.
No, they've done a good
job. Like real.
No, they so that's part of my problem. They've done a good job with it, but it ain't real. It ain't real, Taylor.
No, is this real? I hope the pandemic's not real. I hope the last weekend wasn't real. That's where I'm living, Felger.
Taylor.
I'll take the fake noise every time, Taylor. Every time. So, give me the fake noise. I'm in for the fake noise.
With these Bundesliga games, is it just that the road teams are able to pick up on defensive tendencies or changes because it's not as loud, or is it because the home team is just sad because it's not the same atmosphere? Because I feel like it's the latter.
It's actually the latter. It actually is the latter because you don't gain that extra, you know, I hate using the percentages, but 7 to 10% from the crowd being behind you. When you watch Dortmund play, here's an example. Behind the goal, Borussia Dortmund has 45,000 fans. It's the black and yellow wall.
Yep. Wow.
Bayern, Schalke, those teams go there. You've now gained an advantage because you're not seeing 65,000 breathing. It really is, no pun intended, the home team being sad with the situation and completely deflating it. But the ambiance and the energy is such a huge part of this sport. It's eerily similar to American football. What's going to be interesting for me, guys, is what does the NBA playoffs look like with no crowds? Like, Are you really going to do the just regular audio from Squeaks and saying, hey, pick left, pick right, get under, get over? Like, after 72 games, Felger, I'm over that.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, like, some rap music going on or something.
Well, they
I'm over that.
Yeah, I mean, they do it anyway, Taylor. Do you think it's affected the officiating? Are soccer refs influenced by the crowd like an NBA or NHL ref would be?
No, but I am so – I'm very it's impacted the replays. So, you know, Replay Cat instituted VAR.
I haven't seen one yet.
In soccer globally over the last 12 to 18 months. And oddly, they've had three of the most egregious calls we've ever seen and didn't use VAR. So now the question is, with Sky Sports running the global feed for all this, has the audio part impacted the ability to communicate? Now, three or four general managers have told me in the last 24 hours, because there was an awful call this past weekend, a brutal call. They said, no, it's in two different situations, but the place where the VAR is being constituted outside of Berlin, that was hit the hardest with the pandemic. So they don't, it's actually impacted. Listen, there's been three terrible calls that would never be called with the naked eye, and they didn't use video review. So Felger, I don't know. I mean, I would say no, but on the other hand, there's been those three calls. So maybe it has.
Okay, Taylor Twellman, ESPN, real quick before we let you go, you cover MLS for ESPN. You know me, I'm rooting for soccer. I'd love to see soccer come on. And I look at this time and I say, what is MLS doing? MLSN, not that people follow it or care like we do in baseball or other sports, but they're in a labor battle, too. They're about to blow the whole thing up, too, and it feels to me like they're blowing a golden opportunity. If I were MLS, I would be racing to the field right now in Orlando and getting on TV.
Mike, 72 hours, Friday night, I got word that the players voted yes and that they were going to be the first league to kick off July 3rd. Literally Sunday night at midnight, my phone turns and says the owners are now thinking about locking out. You are completely missing the window of opportunity. And I understand that it's not in the top three or four sports in this country, but it's on the precipice of being there with the younger generations being there. You are 100% missing the opportunity, and they can't get out of their own way. And by the way, in a global pandemic, Mike, if you're going to argue about future pay or play, you lose the paying customer. No one has time for that.
Okay. Taylor, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it, man.
See you, Taylor.
Thanks, Taylor.
There's some fake noise for you. Taylor Trump. Be well, Taylor.
Taylor.
Okay, again, join us on the Volkswagen Dealers
Expo
Hotline.
The home team stink because they're sad.
Where is everybody?
No, it's no longer a home field advantage. It's a home field disadvantage.
Seriously.
It's gone the other way. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
By the way, Taylor asked what the NBA is going to sound like.
That's Marcus Smart. It is true, though. The ambient noise in certain sports are different. Like again... And maybe it's just because I'm a hockey guy. But the hockey to me, you know, swoosh, sticks, slap shots, someone getting crashed up against a board. Those noises, that sound, that ambient sound would be fine to me. The squeaking on the floor.
That'll get old quick.
The sneakers squeaking on the floor is not, to me, as pleasing as someone swooshing across the ice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like nails on a chalkboard. You can't listen to that.
So the squeaking is that. It'll drive you bananas.
You're also going to hear more Pierre Maguire.
Little Atkinson is so smart out of Riverside, Connecticut, Boston College, Avon Old Farms, and Mid-Fairfield Blues before he got to the NHL.
Okay, back to our crowd noise issue. You have a thought? 617-779-0985. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We know we miss the fans. We don't need reminding of by as an empty seat. Oh, remember John who used to sit there? But it's just for the experience of as a TV viewer. It seems to work.
But it's fake.
You can't make. Isn't it like you're watching a film on German television and Clint Eastwood is speaking German? You can't have sound in a stadium. What is that about? What will you do? We'll do that in Norway then. We have an average crowd of 4,000. Can you send us some sound then from America or what?
See, Dan, he's only been working with us for less than a month, and he's all this grumpiness has rubbed off on him already.
Clearly.
I call that the German version of Felger and Maz, or whatever that is. One guy's Dutch, one guy's... But what were those guys, Murray?
I don't know. That was like Dunst and Aaron in the afternoon.
Yeah. If I asked Dunst about European crowd noise, again, Murray, this is the German version of Felger and Maz.
Clearly.
Yeah, you can't have Clint Eastwood talking on a German movie.
If I asked him about
fake
crowd noise, the German Maz would say what, Murray?
It's fake. Oh, right. I'm sorry to go back to it, Mike. They had the guy. They had him. They had never drafted him. They never had a quarterback until the second round. They had the guy after Brady. Bill had found the guy. I'm telling you, Mike. I hate to go back to it. But they had him. They had him in Garoppolo.
Exactly.
It all goes back to Jimmy G.
So that's why they're arguing about it over in Europe, too. And yesterday I did. I was watching the match where they had the cardboard cutouts of the fans in the stands.
Now that looks stupid.
Okay, well, but hold on. So that one I didn't mind because that's obvious. Like, that was supposed to be fun. Like, they weren't trying to create an atmosphere there. It was like, I don't know, they were trying to have fun with it.
Sure.
The crowd noise is different. The crowd noise is to, I think, satiate our, you know, constant need to be inundated with sight, sound, and we just can't handle, you know, we can't handle unless our senses are overloaded, or we just can't handle an empty building and just watching the ball game.
That's what it is. I mean, there are some people that just need sensory overload, but for the most part, I think people that need it are like me, and it's just like, it's just too weird. Yeah, I need the din.
Okay,
I need the hum.
So that's soccer, and Taylor said it, that sport needs that atmosphere. Do you need it? Will you need it in NFL football, Murray?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I definitely will.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Curious.
That's the one that I'm most concerned about. For me, it's NFL football. I need that hum of the crowd. I don't need the up after a touchdown. It'd be nice, but the overall, like I'm gonna absolutely need that. Ah, touchdown! Yes, wonderful.
It's better than that. JC in Rhode Island on this topic. Hi, JC.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I normally don't call, but I wanted to fill you in on this soccer thing. So, in European soccer, in the governing body UEFA, they require every stadium to hold, I forget if it's 10 or 15% of their tickets for the away team, because fans travel like no other sport I've ever seen in European soccer. So I think the reason that they might have been piping in some of the boos, because I've seen that on multiple games, is to give that realization that even when a home team scores, that section of away fans is in the crowd booing.
No, I get it. They want to create the sounds you would hear if you're watching the game. I got it. And they've done a good job with it. And I agree with Taylor. I agree with all of you that they haven't overdone it. It sounds authentic. If, you know, we play these cuts and you couldn't tell the difference. You couldn't tell the difference. And if you were watching on TV and they don't show the crowd, and they've gotten better about this too, they train the camera on the field and they do less shots of the stadium in general, you really wouldn't know. Okay? But that's sort of the thing. That's sort of the idea. It's not happening. It's a fiction. And I don't care how good it is or good of a job they do. I'm still not into it. Rory,
you don't read fiction, huh?
No, I definitely read fiction, but it has to say on the book on the back, fiction. Or it says on the inside
cover, this is fiction. So, they're not trying to fool you.
Well, kind of. I mean, they tell you you obviously know it's fake, but I don't know. To me, I definitely read fiction, but I know it's fiction. If it's make-believe, it's make-believe. If it's real, it's real. I don't need it. I mean, I'm okay just watching the game. I've said that a million times. Rory in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Rory. Rory! Okay, and calls back. You obviously know the number. Fitzy's in Uxbridge. Hi, Fitzy.
I predict that some athlete is going to lose their career because some...
Sorry, one word? Anyone? Did you get any word of that?
No.
Let's try it one more time. Fitzy, hold it like a pizza. Go ahead.
Hey, I predict that some athlete is going to lose their career.
that a microphone's going to pick up some trash talk or something they shouldn't be saying.
No shot, Fitzy. No shot. Unfortunately for us, we're not going to get good mic'd up player sound. I'm sick of this topic because I don't think people get it. You're not. They're never.
It's going to be on a delay. You're never. It's never going to come out. So even if they do this, it's going to suck even worse because it's going to be like someone hit the mute button. You'd be like, oh, what did I just miss there? Because it's not going to get out over the airwaves.
It's all going to be post produced. They're not going to let you in on the real stuff. They don't want you in on the real stuff. And it's more, you know, this would be the time to do it, but they're not going to. This, you know, this Major League Baseball proposal, Maz, wasn't part of the MLBPA's proposal about mic'd up players. Like, they included it, and they included a line about accommodations for mic'd up players or something. I didn't read any further into it. Like, maybe they're asking for compensation for a player to wear a mic, but they put it into that proposal in some way, shape, or form. But it's all a pipe dream. They're not going to – if you are mic'd up and they are going live with it without any sort of delay – that player is going to say absolutely nothing and make sure that everyone around him knows that he's mic'd up. So they say absolutely nothing. You're not going to get anything good.
Right. So the mic'd up thing in baseball, I interpreted to be what they've done in the past, whether that was the All-Star game or what have you, where, you know, guys are talking from their position on the
spring
field.
Spring training.
But they know the mic is live. Right. I didn't take it as natural sound, for lack of a better description, where, you know, guys are on the field yelling at one another. And I don't think you're going to get that.
Do you think Dolph and Wilhelm have such strict, you know, guidelines with their phone calls?
Hold it like a pizza.
Yeah, hold it like a spätzle. I can't understand him. Can you understand him? No, I can't understand him. Hold it like a spätzle. I'm telling you, Mike, they had the guy.
No one has our standards when it comes to the phones, Murray. No one. Continue with your thoughts on this. I do want to weigh in on the George Kittle contract story in the NFL. Have a Bruins thought, NHL return thought as well next hour. All of it with your calls. Don't go anywhere. Just 90 seconds for an update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.